Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. It seems like a long time ago, but it really wasn't. When you have a mass shooting or two a week, they do tend to pile up. And the Colorado Springs mass shooting that took place at a Planned Parenthood clinic there in Colorado Springs has an interesting religion angle, especially in the media coverage. I wonder how well it's being noted. And it comes in the form of one of the victims of the shooting, who was also a police officer, an evangelical pastor, and pro-life, and by eyewitness accounts, was defending those who were being targeted by this rampaging shooter in Colorado Springs at the Planned Parenthood facility there. Joining us to talk about the faith of this police officer killed during that shooting at the Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Springs, Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
So which of these, who, what, when, where, why, how, have the media sufficiently answered so far in the days following this tragic shooting?
Well, in the very first hours, I thought there was actually an admirable attempt, but you know this thing went on for several hours, like a 4 or 5 hour standoff. And in the initial moments of this, I thought there was a pretty interesting restrained tone, primarily in the fact that apparently officials on the ground there were very careful to say over and over that they were assessing motive. You know, they weren't sure why. I'm sure that some listeners will have seen some claims that this started off as a bank robbery, and that he ran to Planned Parenthood to take shelter, and then, you know, began killing people there. At this point, it does appear that it was an attack on Planned Parenthood, at which point, eventually, all of the normal, what in media, the templates of how you cover one of these things fell neatly into place when the man was arrested and made a comment and made the little fragment of what he said that we're hearing about secondhand from legal authorities or police authorities was the no more baby parts. They're not going to sell baby parts, which immediately put this thing. The story jumps from Colorado Springs. It jumps all the way to Washington, D.C., where this becomes another war in the battle over defunding Planned Parenthood and whether or not the secretly videotaped interviews about the sale of baby body parts, whether all of that is valid. And we're right back into that old story with the usual good guys and bad guys from the viewpoint of the American press. Our own Bobby Ross at Get Religion has been doing a series of posts that notice that the press at this point still can't quite make up his mind because they're reporting a lot of the facts about this guy, and it's very obvious that this man is violent, has a long history of violence, in particular against women. It's clear that he is a kind of semi-Bible Belt wild man recluse. And from the very beginning, police have said his mental stability and sanity is, you know, we assume that's an element in this story. So at that point, it's kind of hard to blame the pro-life movement for the violence if you're dealing with a crazy guy, which is why we've seen the message evolve to, well, if pro-lifers didn't say so many horrible things about Planned Parenthood, it wouldn't set crazy people like this off. Have you pretty much followed that same sequence of
absolutely
messages?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the boilerplate explanation here is, well, yes, this man may have been crazy, but he was incited to his actions by pro-life rhetoric.
Right. And several people have noted that the press is extremely anxious to stress that we should not blame the actions of violent Muslim extremists on the language of Islam and even conservative Islam, that you can't do a cause and effect situation there. And in this case, we're drawing a cause and effect from people who have completely and utterly and totally disavowed any use of violence in opposition to clinics and have for 20, 25 years. And every time the issue comes up, they reject it again. On top of all that, you have an overlay, which I wrote about in my column this week, which is the very poignant and symbolic, the fact that you had an evangelical pastor who's also a police officer is the cop who dies in this situation, who voluntarily, he worked for a local college, local branch of the University of Colorado, and thus he heard the call on his scanners and became what it amounts to a voluntary first respondent. He did not have to respond to this call for his job, but he immediately arrives. He's the first on the scene, and he's killed. The fact that you have a person from a strongly pro-life church and a pastor on top of that, a co-pastor in a church that uses an elder system where several men have been ordained as pastors, that put this at other very interesting religious overtone. And all of that has received a tremendous amount of coverage in Colorado Springs. And the New York Times had a sidebar on the fact that he was a pastor very early and noted that. And then the Washington Post jumped in a few days later with a short story. But the actual kind of outpouring of emotion and grief about the loss of that man in Colorado Springs has really not received much attention. It will be interesting to see if his memorial service this coming Friday draws any national coverage.
I mean, at the very least, this raises a question in my mind, a story that, I mean, how would you respond if I pitched the story? Look, we really here could talk about the two ways, maybe the perception and the reality of the pro-life movement, or if you wanted to approach it maybe more neutrally, the two faces of the pro-life movement or the two faces of this. Here is a man who is pro-life by conviction and dies defending the very place where mm-hmm. abortion takes place, and does it out of a sense of duty and I think out of a sense of being pro-life. I mean, that's a story that could be told very nicely.
Well, and he's also a pastor, whereas this other man has like no connections to organized religion at all, no connections to the pro-life movement. What he has are his own kind of deranged, twisted version of religion, which the New York Times has now done a huge story on, and Bobby wrote about that today. This is a wild character. I mean, this is a guy who thinks, because I'm a Christian, I can do whatever I want. I don't even have to be a Christian. I'm saved. I know the Bible. I can do whatever I want to women. I can do whatever I want to with alcohol. I can do whatever I want with porn. I can do whatever I want with violence. This is a very, very crazy guy. And whatever you want to think of him, he certainly doesn't represent anybody in the Catholic or evangelical streams of the pro-life movement. And once again, there hasn't even been the slightest hint of connection. This isn't even a case, as has happened in a couple of times, I can think of two in the past, where you had someone who was involved in the pro-life movement. And then, because the pro-life movement rejected violence, or because they insisted that violence could be used, they got thrown out of the pro-life movement, and out of their anger, they then went into violence, because they thought the pro-life movement was wrong to have written off violence. I mean, so we've had some interesting cases. Any reporter with a search engine can find sources and coverage and entire symposiums done on this topic, you know, at First Thing and elsewhere. It frankly, at this point, is a pretty easy story to cover from the pro-life side of this. But in the current atmosphere of discussions of funding, government funding for a organization that represents the very pinnacle, the holy of holies of the sexual revolution, And because of these recent videos, as Molly Ziegler-Hemingway has noted, the talking points being shipped out by Planned Parenthood have pretty much now taken the story over and is the template that most of the coverage is being filtered through, with the exception of some interesting details about this crazy guy.
Terry Mattingly is our guest, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. We're talking about the faith of a police officer killed at the Colorado Planned Parenthood Clinic.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Just as God commanded his son to be born through humble means, he often works through small, unexpected ways to fulfill his promises to us. That's what your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will learn in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, O Bethlehem. This arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 5 through 9. O Bethlehem is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. O Bethlehem.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps. Concordia Publishing House has been producing these children's books called Arch Books now for 50 years, and part of their way of celebrating the 50th year of their Arch Book series for children is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, O Bethlehem. It's a classic Christmas story for your children, grandchildren, or godchildren. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website, or call Concordia Publishing House and order it as a Christmas gift. O Bethlehem, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about the faith of a police officer killed during a shooting at a Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Springs. Terry, this isn't certainly the first time that the pro-life community, either as a community or individuals, has had to defend itself from accusations of inciting violence.
Well, I mean, once again, you have to pretty much ignore the actual actions and statements of the pro-life movement. At the same time, pro-lifers have got to admit that there are lots of called-in threats against abortion clinics. There is a level of tension around abortion clinics that is justified, and from the viewpoint of the abortion clinic operators, their bottom line and costs are being raised by the level that they're having to do security. Now, the assumption that abortion would suddenly cease being controversial if the mainstream of the pro-life movement stopped criticizing it, that's an interesting assumption and one that I don't think anybody could ever find a way to prove. I think abortion America is still pretty much divided 50-50. Over abortion to this day, and you have a lot of hypocritical people out there who, as the old saying goes, they are opposed to abortion in all situations except their own, And it doesn't help, frankly, from my perspective, that you have lots of people who are, say they're pro-life, but then they're rather inconsistent about the application of pro-life principles to a lot of other issues, sometimes leaving them open to the charge that they're in favor of protection of the unborn, and then you can write them off the minute they're born. So that there's a lot of political points of view that are connected to this issue. I think that when a situation of violence like this happens, the single most important thing that the press has to establish is, did this person who did the violence have any connections to any form of the pro-life movement, even in its most radicalized forms? What's the, in other words, follow the money, follow the time, follow the actions, follow the actual life that this person was living, and see if there's any plausible connection between that person, this person's actions, you know, and any stream of the pro-life movement. In this case, there seems to be absolutely zero. And then in the past, like I said, you had cases where people apparently turned to violence because they were rejected by the pro-life movement. The pro-life movement rejected their desires for violence. That's a connection, but it's a, needless to say, it's not the connection the press would necessarily want to make.
So what are the questions that the press need to answer since they're covering the story and getting the basic questions answered? What would you say are a list of questions that still need to be answered in this story?
Okay, what I just said, the main thing you need to know is, is the person a churchgoer? Do they have a history of consistent attendance at a church or some other religious movement? Have they ever been involved in some expression of pro-life, either protest or activism? What are the ties here? What are the person's connections to the issue other than whatever the ideas are in their own head? I mean, if this person, if you ever get someone with a gun showing up in the lobby of a Planned Parenthood facility and you find out that this person is actually a leader in the crisis pregnancy movement, then you could scream bloody murder. You could go, you'd have a very, very wild and hard to explain connection. If you get someone who has for years been, you know, taking part in prayer services on sidewalks in front of an abortion facility, and then all of a sudden they turn to violence, that would at least be a connection that you needed to factually document and report it. The degree to which that person at that point became a rebel or even a heretic from the viewpoint of the pro-life movement, that would be a subject for discussion. But you would at least have to report the facts that they once were part of the pro-life movement. You see the point I'm making? You'd have to deal with their previous behavior. In this case, the person's, all of their previous behavior is like completely anathema to religious people and to pro-life people. This man's life makes no sense from any traditional form of religious belief or practice. He's a wild man in the woods living in a trailer. And at this moment, we don't know exactly why he said, why he did what he did from his point of view. That may come out later in court or whatever. He could say anything. But from the viewpoint of the press, the most important thing to say is, what are the facts that we know about him? And is there any connection between his life and these actions?
And to contrast with one of his victims, this police officer and pastor, you said a moment ago it would be interesting to see if the memorial on Friday gets national press coverage. If it is, what kind of questions could be answered there?
Well, I mean, there are people, and I found it poignant that when this when excerpts from his final sermon were posted on a conservative evangelical and Calvinist website, the Cripplegate, they pretty quickly had to lock down the comments, because people immediately began saying that this pastor was not a hero, but was a scandal to the pro-life movement because he had fought to defend Planned Parenthood. And these people were not saying that violence was okay, but they were saying that it was wrong for him to defend people at an abortion facility, that that couldn't be justified biblically either. And there might be people out there who consider this person controversial. I would think that that's a valid part of the discussion, in that that there have been these, this long history of debates over when violence would or would not be justified in opposing abortion. You know, the traditional thing, the extreme wing of the pro-life movement, there are some people who would say anything you would do to protect a three-year-old who's under attack, you should be willing to do to protect an unborn child who's under attack. Then you get into the symposiums at Catholic centers and First Things that note it's a more complex situation in America where certain things are legal. You also would never attack someone who had not been able to have a trial. You know, and you know, you get a host of other things going. I wanted to note the simple fact of the matter that from the viewpoint of this man, I don't know where he died in relation to the lobby of the clinic or anything else. I don't know physically where he was located when he was shot. This man shot at some people in their cars. So I don't know where Officer Swayze was at the time he died. But look at it this way. From his perspective, he might have been defending a lobby full of women who were carrying unborn children. And whether they were there to have abortions or not, some of them may be, have been there for other kinds of checkups or meeting with doctors or picking up some other form of medication or whatever. But from his perspective, he was literally protecting women. Now, whatever you think of the women making decisions in that place, he would still have said he was protecting women who were under attack. I mean, at that moment, there's more people in that building than the doctors, right, or the clinicians. It would, this could conceivably be an opportunity to wade back into the subject of these debates, and specifically why mainstream evangelicals, mainstream Catholics, and others in the pro-life movement, why have they rejected violence? Why do they consider this man a hero? In the piece that I wrote at Get Religion this past weekend, when I first heard about the death of this pastor, my brain jumped back to a famous statement by Cardinal O'Connor, the former, the late Archbishop of New York City, who, after a previous example of an abortionist being killed, he got up in the pulpit and just said, folks, this is just all wrong. You do not stop what is wrong by doing more wrong. And then he very famously said, if anybody out there is thinking about attacking an abortionist, don't shoot them. You'll do more harm to the cause than anything else. Shoot me. If you have to shoot somebody, shoot me. And I thought, to some degree, in a very bizarre way, and sad and tragic and poignant way, to some degree, through his action, Officer and the Reverend Swayze, or Pastor Swayze, they would have said at his congregation, in effect, drove his car up there and ran in saying, shoot me.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. He'll be with us for just a few minutes on the other side of the break. We're talking about the faith of a police officer killed during a shooting at a Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Springs. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. More with Terry Mattingly after this. Then Pastor Will Wheaton joins us to remember 8th century theologian and hymn writer remembered by the church today, John of Damascus. Then Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week.
Quality, quantity, qualified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or your church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Journalists don't like it when prayers are offered to a God that is different than their God. Their God is big government. They are very devoted followers.
When every other hope fails, all the hopes and the dreams we make for ourselves, then we know that there is one whose promises to us do not fail, and He will keep His word.
My question to my critic will simply be, you tell me, where is Miss Wolf wrong? She's one of you, not one of me. Where is she wrong?
And when you see the title of his book, The Power of I Am, I want you to remember that he is teaching a gospel where you are your own Savior.
In about a half hour from now, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. It's a game we like to play with our listeners where we play four sound bites. You've heard a taste of them right there. We'll play them in their entirety. You listen, then you give us a call. You send us an email, a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, and you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. The best vote will get the LPR bundle package on this Friday afternoon. And we'll be playing that in about a half hour from now on Issues Etc. Terry Mattingly is our guest. A few more minutes with him talking about the faith of a police officer killed during a shooting at a Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Springs. Terry, I wonder if, to kind of wrap this up, if there isn't a template for the pro-life movement to use to explain it, both its message and then its nonviolent means, really, in the mid-century civil rights movement, which was intentionally, vocally, nonviolent, and pacifistic.
Well, that there have been branches of pro-life activism that have done that. Operation Rescue, back in the 80s, took its methodology and in many cases managed to get this used explicitly. I covered that when I was in Denver. They based their entire methodology on Gandhi and on the civil rights movement. People that got on the bus to go to the protests signed cards that they would act in no way that violated the following principles. They would not be abusive. They would willingly accept arrest. They would not cooperate with arrest, but they would not oppose it. They would only sing hymns. They would not curse at people. They would not yell abusive language at people. They had very explicit connections to those forms of activism and protest. So that has been done before, and that movement, you know, brought about a whole lot of debate about safety zones and constitutional limits on free speech, you know, and whether or not sidewalks remain a go zone for anyone in American life except those who want to be there for the purpose of free speech and protest. I mean, you know, those issues still are around today, and there are still people who are just as committed to that form of activism related to abortion as they are to the same kind of activism being applied, say, to nuclear weapons. Or another classic example would be during the apartheid era. We saw those types of protests launched against banks, you know, that were cooperating with South Africa. Whether or not those methods are acceptable or even constructive, you know, related to abortion is another lively topic for debate. But in this case, this man has no history at all of connection that we know of at this point to connections to any form of pro-life protest. Now, I thought the Colorado Springs Gazette took a constructive step in talking to people who do have a long history of protest at this very clinic. They talked to someone from the Respect Life office of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Colorado Springs. And these people were appalled, of course, by these actions. And they were appalled by the damage this could conceivably do to the pro-life movement. So there's at least one newspaper that did immediately pursued a logical sidebar, a follow-up angle on the story. Other papers should do similar.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here again.